And welcome to the Sportscast, June 29th, 2018. The World Cup, the first round completed yesterday on June 28th. Some surprises, but the biggest surprise was Germany getting eliminated from the first round with just 3 points, losing against Mexico 1-0, beating Sweden 2-1, and losing to South Korea 2-0. And we got Ryan Krista on the line. Welcome to the Sportscast.
Thank you, Santiago. Glad to be here talking a little soccer, maybe a little basketball. So glad to be here on a Friday.
Well, we're going to go through the predictions, but overall, give me a quick summary of what were your thoughts of the first round, and then we'll go on to do some bracket predictions, March Madness style.
All right. It kept us on our toes. I think, you know, a lot of the things that the experts were predicting, you know, I think didn't quite come true. You know, especially, you know, obviously we talked about Germany, you know, being one of the heavy favorites in this tournament, and they can't even make it out of group stage. And I think a lot of that has to do with the group that they're in was a very tough group compared to a lot of the other powers, you know. I look at a team like France, who I don't think has just as much talent as anybody in the world that hasn't played as good, but they got several victories to show for it because the quality of their group wasn't as good as the other ones. And I guess the big other story was, you know, the controversy is that, you know, Senegal and Japan were decided not because of their play on the field, but because of a yellow card accumulation. So, you know, I think there's got to be a better way of deciding who goes on to the knockout round, you know. For a lot of these countries, you know, just making it to the knockout round is so exciting, you know. So now we got, you know, would have been a great story seeing a team like Senegal on to the next round, but, you know, because of the rule that they came up with, they're not moving on. The other, you know, obviously, you know, probably, you know, seeing Ronaldo play so well for Portugal is exciting, you know, seeing one of the best players in the world. And then obviously Messi, who didn't have a great first couple of games, but came on when they needed him in the last game. So it's good to see, you know, world-class players playing, you know, best tournament in the world.
Yeah, you know, back to what you were saying about the whole Senegal, the tiebreaker. Obviously, this, you know, for this to happen, you know, to judge it by fair play, obviously, it's kind of rare. You can say, I know that they were tied in points, tied in goal difference, and then it came down to fair play. There was discussion of how to do it. There's probably had to be some talk to it. There are people saying, you know, maybe give, you know, like the person with the most corners, but then players will purposely, you know, get more corners, which is good for them. But it's tough to say, but it's a rarity. I mean, this is usually his goal difference is decided by going deeper to a third option where it's fair play. I think it's we have to look at the alternatives, and I'm open to changing it. If this is the best way, if it's fair play, now keep it how it is. So we'll see. We'll see where FIFA will go on the situation. I really thought that Portugal could have won the group, but they lost out last minute. I think France has the most talented squad, but they're not on first gear. I've not seen them on first gear yet. Brazil got into first gear after the Costa Rica game, and then it showed it more into the Serbia match. And then, of course, Germany, you know, failed out. I think depending on the old squad was not a good thing. Sami Khedira and there's one more player. Well, they should have took Sané from Man City. Obviously, that'd be a huge debate. I think Lowe should go. He's been there for 12 years. I think they need, you know, something fresh. When a coach just start using their old players, it's a red flag. England and Belgium. I think Belgium is the top favorite. Croatia is also my top favorite. But we'll see if they pan out and live up to the big moments. Let's jump into the knockout stage. First match, Uruguay-Portugal. Who do you got?
Again, we go back to world-class players, and we have two world-class players on each side with, Suarez and Ronaldo. Portugal is kind of getting by, and Ronaldo pretty much single-handedly, keeping them in, especially their first couple of games. Again, a team that probably hasn't played up to their skill level, Portugal. I think Uruguay finished strong in this group, especially with that victory over the host Russia in the last round. I'm a big Portugal guy, but I'm gonna go Uruguay to advance in this one.
I'm gonna say the same thing. Uruguay. I think Uruguay has more of a complete team. Portugal just has Ronaldo. Then you got Caracema and Bernardo Silva in that team, but I don't think it's enough to beat Uruguay. Uruguay has a solid defense. People say that the center back Godin and the other pair guy is one of the best defense in the World Cup. So I'm gonna go for Uruguay. They might scrape through. It might be a 2-1, maybe 1-0, but I think maybe 2-0, 3-1, or we'll see what happens. The next game, France and Argentina. Everyone's looking for this match to be a dessert type of match.
Yeah, this when you see those two teams, you're not thinking of around the 16. I don't think you're really thinking quarterfinals or semifinals even. I don't know. But, like we've talked about, two teams that I don't think have played their best football yet. Argentina, going into, midway through the second half of game three, I didn't think they were going to advance. It didn't look good for them, but, they got some timely help and timely scoring there when they needed the goal. But, we talked about France kind of getting through, not really playing their best. Are they able to, turn that button on? I think I'm going to go with them. So, I'm going into two best players in the world right now, but I'm going to go France, I think actually, kind of in a 2-3-0 type of game.
Yeah, I think Argentina they're in a dysfunctional phase right now. I think the team is dysfunctional. I've heard that the last game, it was managed by their players. I think Messi and Mascherano were the leaders of the team, and they were deciding the formation and the tactics. So I think Sampaoli, the manager for Argentina, has lost the locker room, and I just don't feel that it's healthy. I think France will have the edge. I'm thinking France 1-0 at best penalty shootout. I could see this match going to penalties really easy. So we'll see how far Argentina goes, but I think France is a good enough team to stop them. Not saying that Argentina should be stopped. I'd like to see Messi win a World Cup, but it's just, Argentina is not in good shape, and the federation itself has never been in good shape for the past couple of years. So I think France, this is France's moment to live it, and we'll see if Pogba's the key component here. If France has to win, this year, Pogba has to step it up, which he did in the group stage. Next one, Brazil-Mexico. Interesting history. People will probably think, okay, automatically Brazil's going to win it. Mexico has given trouble for Brazil, but Brazil is on first gear, so I think Brazil will have the edge. What do you think?
Yeah, Mexico rides high. They get that nice victory against Germany. They play good enough against Korea. But they just didn't show up against Sweden. They weren't very aggressive. I think they had that mindset of just playing for a tie. They didn't seem like they're an attack-minded, which is when Mexico's at the best. They got some quick, fast athletes, that give teams around the world some trouble with, good tactical skill. That's what makes Mexico, a dangerous team in the World Cup. And, that's what they showed those first two games. I think they could have beat Germany 4-5-0. If you go back to that game, they were great that game. They took, maybe not as good against Korea and, playing a little awful against Sweden. Sweden is a good team, but Brazil, you hit on it, they've kind of been consistent in that first round, where other world powers, we can't say that, are they able to even go into the next gear? Do they have a next gear? I think so. And I think they, I think this is a toss-up game, I think Mexico is going to respond. I think they love their coach. They play hard for their coach. So I think, but Brazil is Brazil, and, you're getting another world-class player in Neymar. I'm going to go Brazil, maybe in a close game, maybe shootout, but I think they'll advance.
I think it's Brazil 2-0. I think Brazil is going to just – I mean, Brazil can't take Mexico like they can't undermine Mexico. They got to take them serious, but they really got to score. With these teams, with Mexico, you got to score them early, so you just mess them up psychologically. The next match, Belgium-Japan.
We talked about things that are important in the group stage. I failed to mention, I think the best team right now in the group stage has been Belgium, superior against everybody. They had that match against England, and I think they showed the world that, even though it wasn't necessarily a blowout, but they were by far the best team on the field. I really think they're going to cruise past Japan pretty easily in this game.
Yeah, I think Japan had a good, impressive group performance. They beat Colombia 2-1. They tied Senegal 2-2. Unfortunately, they lost against Poland 0-1, but they made it through thanks to FIFA Fair Play, so they probably want to thank FIFA. But I think I got Belgium 2-0, maybe 3-0. Belgium is the most complete team. And, like, their B team even, beat England. And, well, obviously, that was a B team match. But, yeah, Belgium should definitely have that. So it might be a Belgium, Brazil, France, Uruguay. So our picks are the same, which is fine. It's totally fair. It can be opposite. Got to be realistic. Next match, Spain, Russia. Some people say this is a scrimmage. This is a walk-on for Spain. A walk to the quarterfinals.
Not so easy. There's a lot of, pride when you're playing in front of your home fans. This Russia team, obviously, first two games really showed the world that, even though they've been struggling coming to the World Cup, and frankly probably didn't deserve a spot in the World Cup the way they were playing leading up to the World Cup. But being the host team, they got an auto bid. But, they came and they crushed Saudi Arabia to start, And then, they played pretty good in their second match, and then, kind of fell on their face in the third match. But, there's a lot of pride. But Spain's got the talent. Very deep team. I don't want to say it's going to be a blowout because of it being a host team, Russia, but I think, the game will never be in doubt. It might only be 1-0, 2-1 maybe, but I think when it comes, Spain will be control for most of this game.
Yeah, well, that's your interpretation of whooping. Now, Spain did not have an impressive group performance. I think their game against Portugal was the best, but then after that against Morocco and Iran wasn't too impressive. I think their midfield is probably one of the best in the World Cup. And, of course, they got Diego Costa right up top, probably one of the best strikers, in my opinion, top three. And they haven't utilized him at best. So hopefully we'll see him more explosion from him. But definitely Russia should, Spain should be in the quarterfinals. I'll write him in even way before the game starts. Next match, Croatia-Denmark. I think Croatia is the top two teams in this tournament. And Denmark, they tied against France, and they beat Peru. But I think Croatia got this probably 2-3-0.
That's maybe where we I agree Croatia's played great. The ultimate team, that performance in Argentina might be one of the performances of this tournament. They flat out just whooped, Argentina, they passed the ball out. They're so technically sound, possession oriented, good finishing when they have to. But, you know, I think this Danish team is up for the challenge. You know, I'm kind of 50-50 in this game. I really think Denmark is, you know, plays within themselves. Again, another, you know, they're very mirror images. Croatia probably is a little bit more talented than the Danes, but, you know, that's why I'm going to probably go with Croatia. But I think this is going to be a heck of a game.
The reason why I say Croatia has Modric, Radicic. This squad, this is like their last chance for them to do something in the World Cup. I mean, this squad has been around, you know, for two cycles, but the talent they have is such a, so, I mean, so impressive. They play in great clubs around Europe, so this is their chance to move deep into the tournament. The next match, Sweden-Switzerland. I think Sweden has shocked the world a little bit because they've taken out Holland in the qualifiers. They've taken out Italy in the qualifiers. And now, people say they took out Germany in the qualifiers, but I think Germany did their fault. But I think Germany and Switzerland, I think Sweden will probably make it out.
Yeah, you know, again, I think Sweden is an interesting team, you know. They're, you know, I think one of the funnest teams to watch because, again, they're very attack-oriented in the way they play.
Attack, parking the bus strategy, and it's been working out. And, you know, you just talk to a lot of Italians out there, and they know what Sweden is all about. Colombia-England, interesting match. I think it's closer than when people expect. England has Harry Kane. I think that's the advantage. I think Colombia had a good group performance. Their defense, Mina, was pretty much the star of the show, scoring a header on both games. He is probably the dangerous weapon. And James, he actually came out. James came out injured against Senegal, so we don't know if he'll be healthy. But I think Colombia will be okay without him. I think having Quintero in the midfield really helps out a lot. Colombia, he's a good playmaker, maybe as good as James, in my opinion. But England has Harry Kane, and they're more physical, England. So we'll see. What do you think?
Santiago, being a Colombian, what do you think about Falcao? Do you think he's going to be a major factor in this game?
Yeah, he had a good second game performance. The third and the first one was not that hot. He's key, you know. He has to show up.
I think he's going to have a major, you know. I think we've all kind of ruled out James Rodriguez for this game. And probably, I think, unless they can really advance, I think he's probably out for this rest of this tournament, which is a shame because you always like to see the best players playing, especially in this knockout round. But you said they do have playmakers, and that's true. But I think, you know, when you come to goals, you know, Falco is, you know, going to be a factor in this game. But, you know, you said England is, you know, when they're on, you know, this team is fun to watch. You know, they got a young coach. You know, they play with kind of that young enthusiasm on the field, you know. I'm a big fan of, this 3-5-2. They're playing defense. When the, you know, press way up, you know, forcing teams into mistakes in their own end. This is, you know, are they vulnerable in the back? I think very much so. So I think this is definitely a game. There might not be a lot of scoring, but I think it'll be end to end. But I do think, you know, when it comes to proven goal scorers and quality of play, you know, England definitely has an advantage. The English people, they definitely want this. You know, I think the pressure from the homeland will be a lot on this team, but I think they will be advanced this next round and beat Colombia.
Yeah, I really do think England, this England squad is better than like the last two World Cups. And like the biggest difference, I see this, like the biggest difference with this team, they have Harry Kane, they have a striker. They have, like the last two World Cups, they didn't have good strikers. Harry Kane makes a difference.
No, you know, I think, for a long time, they've been, Wayne Rooney is Wayne Rooney. He's one of the best players to ever put on an English uniform. But, you know, it's kind of that mentality of keeping a guy too long on the national team, you know. kind of wore out his welcome, you know, and then you kind of pressured the play guys, even when they're older. But, you know, when you bring in a new coach, you got a lot of young players, you know, they just play with, you know, fearless, you know, they're fun to watch, you know. Obviously, having Harry Kane, one of the best players in the world, doesn't hurt either. But, you know, they just move and they pass well. I think that's one of the funnest teams that I've enjoyed watching in the tournament, and especially the first two games. You know, and we talked about their game against Belgium where they were a little bit funny that both teams played their best players, but, you know, you gotta understand this is a, you know, the important games that are in the next games.
So you got England going to the next round?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to. I mean, Colombia could beat England, don't get me wrong, but I think England's with Harry Kane, he has the edge, so we'll see what happens. Back to sports news.
We agree a lot of this, but, you know, I think there's definitely favorites in every game, which is just should be, you know, when you get to round of 16, because, you know, there's probably only, you know, four teams that legitimately probably could win this tournament.
Yeah.
But, you know, I definitely, when you see any of those four teams, if they don't play well in this round, no matter who they're playing against, the game of soccer is a fickle game. If you're not on, and if, you know, you don't get the bounces, you're not going to advance. And that's what makes, you know, these games so exciting, you know, to watch.
Yeah, it should be a very interesting match. Might be the closest one. One of the closest ones in the round of 16. World Cup 2018 Russia is going tomorrow. The first game, Uruguay versus Portugal, and France, Argentina. Should be a good first day of round of 16. Now switching to NBA. Rumors are saying that LeBron might be going to the Lakers and possibly Kawhi Leonard and maybe Paul George. Do you believe those rumors?
they make this time of year exciting, you know, especially these couple of days that have gone by and these next couple, you know, once Sunday happens, you know, the new year kicks off and, you know, free agents are free agents, you know. I don't think LeBron's officially told the Cavaliers, but, you know, he is probably going to probably take his, you know, exit out of his contract, which he has the ability. Paul George has already told the Thunder he's going to. So these players are going to be ultimate free agents, you know. They are the, you know, and then Kawhi Leonard, where is he going to end up? You know, are the Spurs just going to hold on to it? You know, if I were San Antonio, and they're kind of the Patriots of the NBA, you know, they're not pressured to do things, you know, they're not going to accommodate players, you know, because they're unhappy, you know, so they want to move. So they're going to do what's in the best interest of the Spurs. You know, to me, you know, if you got a best player, you don't want to put them in somewhere in your conference. It's going to hurt you. You want to send them to the other side. So ultimately, I do think they would prefer sending them to the Eastern Conference. You know, and the team on that side of the conference you're hearing a lot from is Celtics. But, you know, if the Lakers are going to give them the house, you know, this Ingram, Ball, Kuzma, if they send those players and maybe a top pick, unprotected pick, you know, the Spurs might have no choice but to send Leonard to the Lakers. But, you know, Leonard has developed into one of the best players in this league. No. And there are some health concerns. We don't know how healthy that quad is. We've seen him only play a couple of times this last year. But, you know, he's definitely one of the top five players in the world. You know, even if any of those players are going to be good players for the Lakers, but I don't think anybody expects Lonzo Ball or Brandon Ingram to be, you know, a top five player in the league in the, you know, several years to come. So, you know, that's what makes these trades never really fully even. But, you know, free agency really doesn't start until we see where LeBron James goes. And then once you have that big domino, everything else kind of falls into place.
If LeBron does want to go to the Lakers,
that's just, you know,
Why do you think he wants to go there?
You know, I mean, I think in his heart, you know, he's, you know, he's very divided. We've known him to be very loyal to Cleveland, you know, but all he really told Cleveland is that he wanted to bring them a championship, which he fulfilled. You know, but does he really want to break their hearts twice? You know, he's much older, a little bit, you know, he's not about the show and the glamour, so he's not going to have this big TV show. I think he'll do something small, you know, if he does go Lakers, he'll just be kind of nothing to show the city of Cleveland up. You know, they've been loyal back to him. You know, they're desperately wanting to stay, and I know, but in the end, you know, he wants to do what's best for him and his family and making them happy. So I'm 50-50, you know, where he goes. Because I think right now, I think all signs point to Cavs or Lakers.
Why do you think he would go to the Lakers?
Why would he go to the Lakers? Or what would you say?
Why would you think LeBron wants to go to Los Angeles?
Well, it's kind of the, you know, it's kind of the centerpiece franchise of the league. You know, it's where the glamour is. It's Los Angeles. You know, this is a man, I think when he moves to Los Angeles, he's moving to Los Angeles for good. That's where he wants to retire in. He wants his family to be based there. You know, he wants to be an aspiring, you know, movie producer. He's got, you know, his son right now, you know, is going to be one of the highest rated, you know, college prospects in a couple of years. You know, they play a lot of big time AAU basketball out there. So there's a lot of potential, you know, reasons why he would want to go to LA, you know, and I think if he comes, he knows other players will come to follow. So that's really never an issue, especially if you go to the Lakers. I think the problem with Cleveland was, even though he was there, he still had a hard time getting people to ultimately choose to play in Cleveland.
But even if the Lakers get the stars, as we think, like who would go, it would not be enough to top off the Warriors.
The Warriors are the Warriors, you know, and, you know, what's the major buzzer, you know, what's the one weakness the Warriors have had, and it's not having a true center, you know, and what's the rumor right now? You know, Dwight Howard, you know, if he gets a buyout from the Nets, you know, after his recent trade there, he was willing to take the minimum because he's going to get a $23 million check from the Nets, you know, and he's willing to take the minimum to go play for the Warriors, you know. If they get a, you know, an all-star caliber, almost potential Hall of Famer in Dwight Howard in the middle, you know, that was kind of at least that one saving thing about the, you know, the Warriors is that at least you can beat them inside because they don't have that great interior presence. But, wow, they're able to get a Dwight Howard.
You are right. I did not look at that scenario. So we'll see what sort of things are shuffling. So free agency starts Sunday, am I correct? No, on Sunday night,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you know, that's where, you know, that's basically, this is a, where they can, there's, you know, they can officially reach out to the team, teams can reach out to them, but nothing really official, I think, until like the 11th or 12th, so.
I think
you're
it's
gonna
the 12th,
see, you
yeah.
know. Yeah, so yeah, it's like a, you know, a 12-day period, you know. You see this once in a while, you know, one of the most famous examples is a couple years ago, DeAndre Jordan says, I'm going to go play for the Mavericks, agrees to a contract, but nothing's in stone until, you know, this 12-day period's over, and that time the Clippers are able to convince him not to sign the Mavericks, you know, and when that, and signs back with the Clippers, which is ironic I say that because I think, and ultimately this year in the offseason, either in a sign and trade or just free agency, the Mavericks will end up with DeAndre Jordan.
A Dallas Mavericks fan yourself, Ryan Krista, thanks for sharing the latest on the NBA free agency offseason summer. You're as good as Waj from ESPN.
Yeah, I'm basically, you know, I'm taking all these knowledge I get from these experts, you know, kind of putting them in a nutshell, so it's all in a, but, you know, what make, you know, as exciting as to watch the NBA, you know, I think there is just much interest now coming this time of year because, the NBA has branded themselves not necessarily team-focused, but player-focused, you know. So there's not as much loyalty to LeBron James and the Cavaliers, but just to LeBron James. So you're going to see a lot of people, if he does go to Lakers, will switch fans from being the Cavaliers to Lakers just because of LeBron James, you know. So this is why there's so much interest in where these players go, because the NBA is branded, you know, purposefully that to players, not necessarily to teams.
And there you have it. We'll find out this weekend, and hopefully Ryan will come back to talk about what happened.
Yeah, I'm 50-50. You know, I think he doesn't want to do it to the Cavaliers fans. You know, they're loyal organization, you know, has tried their best to put a winning product, you know, but again, you know, it's hard to land those star free agents to Cleveland, you know, so they're doing all their wheels and dealing in trades, and that's just, you know, those are hit and miss when you do these massive trades like they did this season. But, you know, there's a lot to talk, you know, LeBron James isn't going to make a quick decision if we learned anything from his last two, three, you know, free agencies, that he's going to wait, you know, a couple, you know, a week to 2 weeks before he makes his decision.
Yeah, it kind of looks like he's going to leave. It kind of looks like. But we'll see what happens. Ryan, how can people reach you?
Twitter and My Dog Report, or hit me up on Facebook at Ryan Krista.
Ryan Krista, thank you for coming on to the Sportscast.
Sounds good, San Diego. It's good to talk some sports with you. Love you, Mindy and Cleek.